Good day, and welcome to the Magnet third quarter and 9-month 2021 training update and financial highlights call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Albert Abedikoff. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us to discuss Magnet's operating and unaudited financial results for the third quarter of 2021. With me to review the results are our CFO, Dmitry Ivanov, and our CEO, Jan Dunning. The announcement and presentation are available on our website. And as usual, after our remarks, we look forward to taking your questions. I would also like to remind you that today's financial results are based on the management account. And with that, I will now turn the call over to Magnet CEO. Jan, please.
Yeah, thanks, Albert. And good day, everyone. Thanks for joining. Now, it's obvious that I'm very pleased with the underlying operating and financial metrics. This time, we delivered even more than promised, and this development is sustainable for already 7 consecutive quarters. Sales densities improved, again supported by mature stores. Online sales channel develops fast, and our pilots are actually also very, very promising. Margin gains continue. Cash generation remains solid and working capital optimized further. We started consolidating the Dixie business with about 2,500 stores, and the first deep dive shows actually a lot of value which can be unlocked in both brands. Now, let me take you through the key highlights before we move into the details. We had a remarkable quarter with sales growth in the Magnet stores of 14% and a like-for-like of 9%. Mature stores, so the older vintages, are the main driver with double-digit like-for-like sales growth. Sales densities increased by 5%. We again accelerated expansion and redesign program with around 1,500 new openings year-to-date and expect further pickup in the fourth quarter. In July, we completed strategic acquisition of Dixie, and first deep dive is very promising in terms of potential synergies. We develop our e-commerce capacity and by now reached 50,000 online orders a day. EBITDA margin increased versus previous quarter to 7.2%, even after consolidation of the Dixie business. We expect sustainable upward trend to continue with annual margins improving compared to last year. Our working capital cycle improved again with inventory turnover 16 days better year on year. Full year and long-term guidance remain unchanged. And finally, together with the largest FMCG companies, we signed the Code of Commitments under the United for a Healthier Future initiative. With that, I will now add some more color to the quarter developments. So have a bit of a deep dive. We achieved solid like-for-like sales growth in the mature stores and speed up expansion. The total sales growth stood at 28%, and adjusted for the consolidation of Dixie, we achieved a remarkable 14% of net retail sales growth. We saw strong monthly trend. Sales growth moved up from 10% in July to 17% in September, and this was driven by like-for-like sales growth of 8.6, pushed by mature stores. For example, our old vintages, stores of 3 to 4 years old, delivered double-digit sales growth. The result came in higher than even in the environment of the COVID-related restrictions in the first quarter of the last year. And basically, this is the strongest like-for-like sales growth for the last 30 quarters in a row. Expansion accelerated, underpinned by strong return dynamics, and we opened 535 stores on a gross basis, 50% more than a year ago, and for the first 9 months, we actually added close to 1,500 new outlets. Basically, we open more than 5 stores a day. So, fully confident in our guidance of 2,000 stores opening for this year. Like-for-like sales growth was positive across all regions and all formats. Moscow, Central, and Siberia were in the double-digit zone. Key convenience format demonstrate leading like-for-like sales growth of 10.2%. Supermarkets improved versus previous quarter to 3.2%, and the drogerie format based faced a high base for comparison and much lower inflation in non-food categories, delivering as well a 3.2 like-for-like result. Other company-specific trends included continuous inflow of new customers, however, less contributing this quarter than an increase in visits frequency. Number of loyalty card holders exceeded now the 55 million with a 65% penetration in sales. And on-shelf inflation accelerating further, reaching peak levels in line with Rostat food CPI. Number of articles in the average basket broadly flat. Slight trading up effect continued as a result of ongoing assortment changes. This was well supported by continuous CVP improvements, favorable weather conditions at the end of summer, strong domestic tourist season, and government payments to various social groups. So all in all, we're improving sales densities without sacrificing volume and margins. The promo intensity remained flat. Promo remains at a healthy level. On both year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis, it remained unchanged. We continue to focus on CVP improvement to drive sales in the first place. At the same time, we see improving promo margins due to better promo forecasting. Other highlight is we continue to develop our e-commerce activities and initiatives. We run several e-com pilots, including own express and regular delivery, and partnerships with Delivery Club, Sbermarket, Yandex, and Wildberries. In the third quarter, we added 1,200 stores to the online service. Today, 2,700 stores in 64 regions are connected to this option. And we may finish the year with a total of over 4,000 connected stores. The number of cities covered by our e-com initiatives more than doubled to 267 at the end of the quarter. Magnit already has one of the widest coverages in the region with regards to e-grocery. We launched two new partnerships with the largest Russian marketplace, Wildberries, as well as pharmacy marketplace, Utica. We also launched our e-pharmacy in the regions. GMV of Magnit's online segment stands at 5.2 billion for the first 9 months. Looking at the recent data in October, we are already at 1.5% of total company's revenue generated by online sales. And just to remind you, first delivery from our stores was done just 15 months ago. As we rapidly expand into regions, the share of online revenue generated outside Moscow and St. Petersburg increased to 66%. We want to capture this opportunity and use a chance to quickly become market leader in the regions. On the peak day of September, we hit 50,000 orders. We are moving fast towards market leaders, but we follow cost-efficient and capex-light approach. Other highlight is the hard discounter pilot looks very promising. We continue developing our hard discount concept. As of today, we operate 141 of those stores. By the year end, we expect the network to increase to up to 200 stores. And next year, we may take a decision to significantly accelerate expansion to reach critical mass. Scale may provide better scope for further development of proper assortment and higher private label penetration. Even now, with small number of stores, we see customer satisfaction resulting in strong sales density and extraordinary returns in the range of 30 to 40%. Now a bit on our recent trading. In October, month to date, we are happy to see further acceleration of both total sales growth and like-for-like sales growth above our third quarter average. Similar trends we see in the Dixie stores. This acceleration is achieved despite the high base for comparison, as I would like to remind you that October was the second best month last year in terms of like-for-like sales growth. And again, our initiative remains the key driver without any promo intensification. In October, we launched the third season of our unbeatable loyalty campaign, the Skripishi Toy, and together with the continued operational improvements and food inflation, this campaign is supporting our top-line expansion very, very well. Dixie integration is in progress. We started to consolidate the business as of the 22nd of July, the Dixie network was not the main beneficiary of the favorable external factors, while showed quite sustainable performance. On pro forma basis, like-for-like sales growth in the mid-single digits, fully supported by mature stores, as basically selling space growth was almost zero. So despite high base sales densities, continued improving. We're in the process of finalizing the negotiation campaign with suppliers and expect first portion of synergies to arrive in the next quarter. Good progress is on SG&A level. We're now applying each tariffs to Dixie Bank's guarantees, acquiring fees, cash collection, banking and services, etc. So without any FTE optimization, we may expect this to result in significant amount of savings in the next year. Next steps will be aligning, of course, all the policies and automation of business processes. Now let me pass the floor to Dima to walk you through our financial results.
Thank you, Jan, and good day, everyone. Let me start with gross profits. So gross profit margin improved quarter-on-quarter to 23.6%, but was 21 basic points lower versus last year. Overall, there were two main factors impacting the whole P&L. First one is positive operating leverage effect, and secondly, consolidation of the Dixie business. On the gross profit level, we had positive impact from the following factors. Improved commercial terms with suppliers, better promo funding from suppliers and higher promo margin, shrinkage improvement of 24 basic points despite acceleration of store openings and thanks to strict oversight and solid like-for-like sales growth. Supply chain cost decrease of 7 basic points on higher DC productivity and utilization, and this was partly offset by negative impact of the growing transport tariffs and staffing issues at the DCs. Favorable format mix on lower share of wholesale business. And these factors were offset by consolidation of the Dixie business with lower commercial margin and technically lower share of high margin drogery business, again due to consolidation of Dixie business. SG&A expenses remained under strict control. SG&A's percent of sales were 9 basic points down year-on-year and flat versus previous quarter. That came despite some cost inflation and growing number of stores in the ramp-up phase. On the positive side, top-line growth was the key factor. Staff costs went down 64 basic points. High productivity of in-store personnel, especially in convenience, fully offset additional pressure from new stores in the ramp-up phase and some turbulence in rotation. Lease expenses grew by 24 basic points, and increase in sales density, better rates per square meter, and closing of inefficient stores were more than offset by growing share of leased space. And this came as a result of the consolidation of 2,500 stores of Dixie located in the capitals with higher rent rates and higher share of rental stores. Advertising expenses increased by 33 basic points on higher marketing activities, including loyalty campaigns, as well as digital marketing. Other costs slightly decreased on positive operating leverage effect or remained broadly flat. As a result, EBITDA margin improved quarter-on-quarter to 7.2% and was flat versus last year. Interest expenses increased by 11.6% in absolute terms, but reduced by 12 basic points versus last year. And this came due to recent increase in total amount of borrowings to finance organic expansion and M&As. As a result, net income increased by 41% versus last year and stood at 13.6 billion rubles with a margin of 2.8%. Effective tax rate was 22.7%. We are on track with working capital cycle optimization after consolidation of the Dixie business. Inventories increased by 3.6% year-on-year, while sales growth came at 28%, and this resulted in the faster rotation by 16.3 days, despite acceleration of store openings, high on-shelf availability, including supplier inflation and, of course, consolidation of the Dixie business. Trade and other payables grew by 57.2 billion rubles versus last year, driven by higher sales and increased payment days. And this is almost twice higher growth than in the previous quarter. Accounts receivables increased by 1.8 billion rubles versus last year due to higher sales and improved commercial terms with suppliers. We continue to focus on further improvements in the working capital in days. CapEx increased on acceleration of expansion. CapEx in third quarter more than doubled to 16.4 billion rubles due to much faster expansion and redesign. For 9 months of 2021, we have invested 42 billion rubles, which is in line with our projections and calendarization of the store openings and redesign process. So we confirm our guidance for the year to open around 2,000 stores on gross basis, redesign about 700 stores, and spend from 60 to 65 billion rubles on CapEx. So our financial position remains stable despite the one-off hike in leverage. At the end of third quarter, our gross debt was 271 billion rubles, which is almost flat versus end of the previous quarter. Cash position of 37.5 billion rubles, resulting in net debt of 234 billion rubles. An increase versus previous quarter is fully explained by settlement of the Dixie transaction. Average cost of debt stayed flat versus last quarter at 6.4%, and it remains below the state bond yield and Central Bank of Russia key rate. Portfolio duration is long enough, so we don't expect any meaningful change in the average cost of debt in the next few years. We have quite a large cash position, which is placed on deposit at much higher rate versus borrowing costs, so we get some finance income. Net debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.9 times. We expect it to reduce to the comfortable zone at year end. With strong cash generation, we may not need any borrowings to finance our organic expansion and projects. So our leverage will continue moving down in the next periods. And with this, I will give the floor back to Jan for some closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Dima. Now, before we move to the Q&A session, let me update you on our recent appointments. We're very happy to announce that in the last quarter, we strengthened our management team with two professionals. In July, Andrei Lukasiewicz joined me as an e-commerce director and is responsible for the development of the e-commerce infrastructure and the rollout of the digital sales channels. Yuri Misnik was appointed as Chief Digital and Technology Officer and is responsible for the development of Magnit's digital portfolio, integration of modern technologies and innovations, development of IT infrastructure and advanced analytics. So we've now formed a fantastic team of professionals, united under clear mandate. As a leader of this team, I'm very confident we can speed up Magnit's retail and digital transformation even further. As you noticed, some concerns in the market, I want to mention that my employment contract is unlimited, having no expiry date and doesn't require any actions from the board side. We noticed that that was a concern in the market and we would like to address that. And a couple of final remarks from me. The results and prospects, I think, are very encouraging. I think we have everything in place to move even faster than originally planned. And we still have room for improvements in a lot of areas. We're now a business with double-digit top-line growth, continuous margin gains, strong balance sheet, and a dividend distribution. So thanks for listening, and we're ready, actually, for your questions.
Thanks a lot. Operator, we are ready for the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. Our first question will come from Henry Herbst with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Thanks very much, and congratulations on a very strong set of results. I have a few questions, please. The first one is, I guess, with Dixie, you've grown your store base quite a lot. How should we think about you growing it organically this year? How should we think about the potential to sustain that rate of store footprint expansion going into next year? Or have you sort of done some of the stuff you wanted to do with the acquisition of Dixie? Secondly was, I wanted to see if you could maybe help quantify some of these external factors, I guess, benefits from stimulus checks and no international travel and stuff like that. And then the last one is, I guess, if you could give us any thoughts on dividends for the first 9 months. I guess we should get a result from board at some point quite soon. Thanks very much.
Yeah, Henrik, thanks a lot for the questions. The first one is on Dixie and the acquisition and the further growth rate. So what we're currently doing is we're looking at the portfolio of Dixie and are actually integrating a couple of the Dixie stores into the Magnet platform. We do that because we notice that some of the Dixie stores are not really close to the supply chain they have in place. So just to give an example, we have 90 stores in the Ural, where we separately rent a distribution center. So we have capacity in our existing infrastructure in the Ural. So we'll shift those stores to our Magnet infrastructure so that we have at least some cost advantages and also some marketing advantages to get it under one banner. A similar exercise we will do in Murmansk and Astrakhan. But we also will develop Dixie as a banner itself, because the banner Dixie is quite strong in Moscow and in St. Pete. So we have asked the Dixie team to try to open up 100 stores this year as well, and also to do a couple of remodelings in order for us as well to assess what is the uplift if we do that, and are we getting the right returns to actually build a program for next year? Now looking for next year, because that was your question as well, is with the acquisition of Dixie the market matured? We don't believe so. I think we still believe for the next couple of years that there is enough opportunity in the market and even in Moscow for us to grow. What you will see, of course, and that's what you've seen already earlier, is that it's potentially a lot of replacement. So we take over rent from existing players. So it's not always new retail space. It's also replacement space. But as you also probably know, in Russia there is a lot of development ongoing into the bigger cities of new living areas and new living districts. And of course, we would like to take their part of the pie as well. So I don't think expecting us to come down on our store growth is what I will put in my budget. So then on the external factors, I will hand that over to Dina. But before I hand over to Dina, I would like to say one thing, because that I think is actually quite essential. The external factors have been the same for all the retailers in the industry. And what I'm actually very happy with is that we have been able to take the most out of those. And that's also clear in the performance. And that shows, call it the agility, but at least the flexibility of the team to deal with different circumstances and changed situations. And I'm actually super proud of that. Yeah,
thank you. So in July, August, and September, there were several tranches of government subsidies to several groups of Russian populations, to families with kids, to pensioners, to military, to workers. Overall, looking into analysis in our statistics, we estimated that around 50-60% of the social payments in the region, especially in the regions, landing at Magnit stores. That's quite a big portion, and I would say this is much less pronounced in the capitals. So the biggest part came in the regions.
Yeah. And then on dividends, the last part of your question, I think, is we have the habit to announce dividends after the board approval, and the board is set to come up with an approval as of the 9th of November. So I think around that time, the second week of November, I think you will hear us announce something on dividends.
Go ahead, Henrik. Thanks very much.
On the second question you had on stimulus, just to remind you that the last portion came actually in the beginning of September, first week of September. Now sitting in the end of October, we see no tail of that, but we're looking at strong acceleration of our like-for-like sales growth versus 3Q average of 8.6, and the same for total sales growth.
Sorry,
I just wanted to clarify. When you say don't expect store growth to come down, is that in percentage growth terms or absolute? I presume you mean absolute, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah, that's in absolute.
Okay, thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Pack with LT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello and congratulations for the very strong results. And it was announced in August that Magnit joins European Purchasing Alliance called it Partners. So could you please let us know what advantages would you expect and how it will affect margin?
We have become a member of APIC. And the main purpose is as a retailer the size of Magnit, I think it's very important that you get a bit more international best practices in place. So reaching out to APIC to become a member should serve two purposes. One is joint marketing activities with the suppliers, but second, have an opportunity to look into the kitchen of other leading European retailers to learn from them and to share best practices with us and our best practices with them.
Thank you. Our next question.
And excuse me.
Please go ahead.
Would it have some kind of implication on margin, on profit?
We are of course in the process of continuously trying to improve our margins. This is not the main purpose. In principle, we are also taking the position that if we have an opportunity to convey those call it advantages into consumer advantages, then we will for sure do this. And I think you see in the like-for-like evidence of this, we're clearly investing into the Russian consumer as well, and that's needed. So I think the main purpose is not just margin, is also becoming better. And if you've been on the calls earlier, I've always said my ambition is not to be the number one. My ambition is to be the best. And that means that we are looking very much into our processes, into our commercial activities. And by the way, also for my colleagues in the team, it's very insightful to see, okay, how other organizations are dealing with certain topics. And you will not believe it, but even the Dixie acquisition, of course, has also a reverse impact on our business because we also learn from Dixie. So, and I think that makes being a retailer actually quite interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alexander Glusarov with VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, hello. Congratulations on your very strong results. I just have a couple of questions. Most of them, I suppose, are rather of clarification style. The first one that I have, you had a very strong EBITDA margin of 7.2%. Maybe you could elaborate, if we take Magnit standalone, your EBITDA margin was closer to 8%, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alexander, first of all, hello. And so let me elaborate a bit on this topic. So first of all, we don't disclose segment reporting, and we don't disclose separately Magnit's financial statements. But if you remember, when we were announced Dixie acquisition, we expected margin dilution in the range between 7 and 10 basic points. So closing our third quarter, we saw that we were very accurate in our projections, and overall dilution for third quarter was in this range. And we believe that for full year, it will be even lower, given that we acquired Dixie and start consolidated it since 22nd of July. And also, we already can get some synergies from commercial conditions, from costs, as we already explained. So we believe it will be still in this range between 7 and 10 basic points, or maybe slightly less.
Perfect. That's clear. The second question, when you were talking about your month-to-date sales in October, did I get it right that they are higher than average in the third Q21?
Alexander, I can repeat to make it absolutely clear. So for Q3, we had 8.6 like-for-like sales growth and 13.8% of net retail sales growth. In October, we see strong acceleration versus 3Q average of both like-for-like sales growth and total sales growth. And definitely, if I include Dixie stores, then for the group, we see acceleration versus 28% total sales growth. Is it clear now?
That's perfect. Pretty clear now. And the last question.
I do apologize. It appears our questioner has disconnected. We will move to our next question in the interim. We will go to Max Nexrozov with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. So I have a couple of questions. So first, I have a question on your staff costs. So I was a bit surprised to see such significant reduction in your personnel costs as a percentage of sales, as it seems that the market, labor market in retail is quite strained, according to other retailers. I'm just wondering, do you expect any like additional pressure on your staff costs going forward, or it was driven by kind of efficiency improvements and things should be stable going forward?
Yeah, Max, hi. So you're absolutely right that agro industry faced quite serious challenges with personnel, linear personnel, DC personnel, store personnel, and everyone tries to overcome these challenges by different measures. So what we did in our company. So first of all, as we have already explained several times, that we are quite actively focusing on implementation of new technologies, of self-checkouts, of mobile printers, on several tools which help to monitor queues, on some modern technologies which can arrange planning for store staff and DC workers. So all these measures help us to optimize staffing levels without company-wide salaries indexation and significant negative impact on our results. So and of course we are using more, I would say, more sophisticated motivated schemes which help us to deliver such a good results, which are also supported by strong operating leverage.
Max, maybe you recall a couple of years ago that actually staff rotation was our biggest problem. 2 years ago, when we actually started this journey, we had rotations of 12 to 15% on a monthly basis. So we were actually replacing our staff 1.5 times a year. So it was obvious that we had to do something on retention as well. So I think besides the activities that Dima is explaining, we've also been pretty active in first starting to plan proper. So have better staffing schemes for the stores and the DCs, but also in training and making sure that people are being appreciated. We've done quite a lot of efforts, and that led actually to a rotation level of the beginning of this year and the first half year of around 4.5 times instead of 4.5% instead of the 12-15%. And that helps, of course, as well, because what you then get is you get staff inside the stores and in the DCs that are experienced, and they also deliver considerably higher productivity rates than what you have if you have the high rotation.
Mm-hmm. So do I understand correctly that you don't expect a pickup in the personnel cost as a percentage of sales because of your efforts and the kind of efficiency improvements in the coming quarters?
The target is, first of all, we see as well that the inflation is rather high. We will have to look at how does that relate to the income of and spending power of our employees. But of course, the assignment of a retailer is to make sure that his sales grows faster than his cost. So we'll be monitoring this relatively. And make sure that we put other activities in place that at least create higher productivity norms and higher productivity output to compensate for the increase in salaries.
I understand. Thank you very much. And I have a second question with the clarification in terms of your like-for-like growth in the third quarter. Can you disclose the difference between like-for-like growth in the regions and the capitals?
There was actually an explanation. We see in Moscow and in Siberia and in the central three regions that are double digits, and the rest of the regions are actually in the second tier of the single digits. There is not a region where I think, okay, now I need to worry. But there are slight differences, and that also depends on level of cannibalization, level of competition that enters in. But overall, I think we're seeing across the board improvements in the consumer offer, and we see actually in what Dima already was mentioning with regards to visits. And new inflow, that we see actually also across the board. There is not one outstanding region there's one underlying region. That's not the case. Overall, quite stable. Yeah.
So, Maxime, three regions with double-digit like-for-like sales growth, and the rest from almost 7 to 10%. Yeah. The lowest was around 7%, the lowest region, I mean. Again, Moscow,
okay.
Central, and Siberia,
okay.
Three regions with double digits, like sales growth in 3Q,
yeah.
With average of 8.6.
Mm-hmm. So basically, in Moscow, we had very strong double digit, like growth, despite the fact that, it is widely regarded that Moscow consumers were not really affected by, those payments. So is it fair to say it was more of a company-specific growth in Moscow?
I think in our offer, Just on the category management side, so on the commercial side, what we've done in the last year is we've clearly improved the need segmentation in the category. So where in the past there was a choice, but the choice was very much focused on a limited need. We've extended that, and it's clear that consumers picked it up, and it's also clear that the Moscow consumer is very sensitive to this. So there I think that's, yeah, call that company specific. But if you recall, the year before and until actually the middle of the second quarter, we were also in the Northwest seeing similar performance. So the St. Pete and Northwest performance was similar, and that's still holding on quite strong. And so that's company specific. In the regions, I think our whole price positioning, but also the adding of in the range have helped us as well. And that's something that we will continue going forward. Now with the input and the information from the loyalty cards, we want to make smarter decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot. That's very clear.
Thank you. As a final reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing star one. Our next question comes from Iula Kasakovjeva. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I have a question on competition. Could you please comment on the overall level of competition on the market now? Do you see any like competition intensification now? Is something changing as compared to the beginning of the year, for example? Any comments will be appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think the Russian consumer market has always been competitive. So what we see in our business, but also in general in the market, is the following. In our business, I see an inflow of more affluent customers. So I think we take from markets and independent retailers, but also from hypermarkets, customers that start shopping with us. And that's also related to the extension of the need segmentation. But what we also see on the lower side, and by the way, that started to change in September, but we've seen for a long time the P1, so the entry segment, not growing or even slightly declining. But in September, we saw it for the first time pick up. Overall, what we see is on the lower side, the consumer moving towards the discounting. And that's why we also started our pilot on the discounter, because I think we with our own production, we're actually very, very well positioned to pick that customer up with a very good value price proposition. But, yes, with a limited need segmentation.
Okay, thanks a lot. Very helpful.
Thank you. This concludes today's question and answer session. Albert, at this time, I will turn the conference to you for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I'm happy we covered all the questions. And just to remind you, next time we speak when we report 4Q results in the beginning of February, then followed by full-year financial results in March. Thank you very much.
Please go ahead.
With that, we can finish our call. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.